guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you all had a great week. So I have a very interesting and very strange thing that happened this week. I went to a concert out in Utica to see Stephen Marley and Revolution and some other people, and it was a really, really good concert. And so I'm going to tell you what happened and how the importance of having protection of weapons is to you. So my boyfriend and I, we like to go camping just in random places. And so we found a state forest, which fun fact, New York State is so generous enough to let you camp off of state forest land if you're 150 feet away from the trail, body of water, or trail or body of water. And so we went to this state forest maybe 20 minutes away from the concert, and we went pretty deep in the forest too. We found a really nice spot, set up our tent. We didn't put anything in it, just set up the tent. And then we went to the concert. We came back from the concert and a truck was sitting there. Some guy in a truck, and it was really, really weird. So Joey starts creeping up to it, and I was thinking, oh, maybe this person was fishing around here or something. It was weird, though. It was like 12 o'clock at night. And so I'm like, stop being a creep. Go pull up and say hello. So we pulled up and said hello, and the guy just stared at us and didn't say anything back. So, and it's funny because I was telling Joey not to be the creep. And so he like just stared us down and was really, really strange. And I didn't have a good feeling about it. And neither did Joey. And we like got out of the car. It was like really, really strange. It didn't feel good. And he like backed up, pulled out, and like sat there with his truck. And it was super weird. He sat there for a minute and then started driving away slowly. And so we looked at each other. We're like, we're getting out of here. So we like frantically took down the tent and packed it in my car and drove the 2 hours back. It was something I hope I never encounter again, because it was really, really, it wasn't a good situation. And to feel defenseless was even worse.
What did the guy look like? I mean, what was he doing? Did he take anything? Or didn't you have anything?
All we had was the tent. Okay. Everything that like our belongings was in the car. But just the feeling of being defenseless was not good, because it was weird. It was midnight on a Wednesday, deep in a forest, like by himself, wasn't even friendly. It just didn't feel like a good situation. And so I'm not going random camping like that again until I know and can carry a gun.
I mean, did he say anything to you?
No, he didn't. He didn't say anything.
Say a word.
It was super weird. So, like, I kept thinking, well, maybe he saw our tent earlier and he's a weirdo. And, like, he came back late at night thinking we'd be sleeping.
Yeah.
So, it's just, I've seen Criminal Minds. I read Stephen King.
Sure.
I'm not trying to get killed.
Did he have any way to get his license plate number?
No. But we were so freaked out.
Yeah,
we just,
I can imagine.
The tent is still in my back seat, like, just thrown in there. It's not folded up or anything.
You don't want to take it out. Yeah, it just reminds you.
But we took that down so fast and left. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But so it's important to have some kind of protection on you for those kind of situations. And now I want a gun.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, pepper spray, gun. Need to teach my dog how to protect me.
Right.
He's still a puppy.
Well, the thing is, too, about pepper spray, though, they got to be right in front of you. But,
yep.
I mean, it's good to carry in your purse.
Yeah.
But at least with a gun, I mean, if he attacked you or something, you know.
Yeah, it definitely should be something I bring camping now.
Yeah.
I never thought I would encounter anything like that. But, you know, wackos go in the woods all the time.
No.
And so anyway, that was my interesting story of the week.
Wow. Yeah.
So anyway, the concert was great. It was a good time. Besides that, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a really good concert. I'm glad I went. So I wanted to go over Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What a name. What a name.
I know.
I wanted to go over her platform in depth, because we started to last week, and I wanted to finish it up. So we started talking about her Medicare for All. So I wanted to read what her like little synopsises here. So if you don't remember, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a Democratic socialist who won in, was it the 14th district? I can't remember which district.
I think so.
She's somewhere in the city, New
Queens
York City.
Or Bronx or something like that.
Something like that. She took out a longstanding Democrat in the primaries. And so anyway, this Democratic socialist has her platform up on her website. So Medicare for All. She says, improved and expanded Medicare for All is the ethical, logical, and affordable plan to ensuring no person goes without dignified health care. Medicare for All will reduce the existing costs of health care. It's not true. And make Medicare cheaper. Not true. By allowing people in the U.S. to buy into a universal health care system. What's even better is that improved and expanded Medicare for All includes full vision, dental, and mental health care, because we know that true health care is about the whole self, not just your yearly physical. Almost every other developed nation in the world has universal health care. That's not true either. It's time the United States catch up to the rest of the world in ensuring that people have real health care coverage that doesn't break the bank. This is very different than universal access to health care, which is lobbyist talk for more for-profit plans. You can count on Alexandria to fight for people-centered healthcare more than any other candidate, because she's the only, and that's in caps, she's the only candidate that doesn't accept money from pharmaceutical lobbyists or private insurance companies, which that is true. She's doing some really good things with her the money that's coming in. Mm-hmm. Extending single payer to the American public has rippling positive effects. People will take less time off work, have more money in their pocket. That's not true, because you're going to be taking more money from them. And other issues like mass incarceration, homelessness, and more will also be alleviated with an increase in the number of people getting the mental and physical health care they need. At this point in the U.S., we've tried almost every other system of health care, and we know it doesn't work. The Affordable Care Act was a great step forward to insure the previously uninsurable, but for many Americans, costs are still far too high. It was not a great step. It was a terrible step.
Yeah.
Terrible step. The prices of copays, premiums, and deductibles are skyrocketing. That's because of the Affordable Care Act. We're paying more for less every year. Improving Medicare and extending it to all Americans can fix these problems. All right. So there's a lot of issues with her her thoughts on this. So she wants universal health care. I'm not sure if she knows much about Europe, but I believe like the UK has some kind of universal health care system, and their health care system sucks.
Oh, yeah.
They never get quality care. They wait forever. Mental health, you will wait years before you're seen or accepted. And because I have a history of some mental health issues with like the eating disorder, depression, and stuff like that, I looked into like other countries when I was going through that, and how they deal with it. And I've talked to people from other countries when I was younger, like other teenagers and stuff, like on Twitter, and they would always say that they wait forever to get help. Their parents couldn't get them in quick enough. This one girl waited 2 years to be accepted into some kind of therapy program. And it's when you give the government a monopoly over healthcare, it turns into like the DMV. It's not quality, and they don't have any incentive to give you good service. And so I also, she's saying this is going to put more money in people's pockets, which is just not true, because to pay for this universal health care, we have to pay more taxes. So you're going to be taking a lot more out of our paychecks, and people are going to be paying a lot more at the end of the year. So it's really not going to put more money in people's pockets. The best solution to healthcare is letting the market take care of that. And the only reason why these copays and premiums are skyrocketing is because of the government getting into healthcare and trying to fix something that wasn't broken. So she needs to reevaluate that.
Well, yeah, and now they found out that her bio isn't exactly what she said it was supposed to be. And there's some mysterious things in her background, like she didn't live in the area that she won in, that
yeah,
she commuted
I don't know.
There. And who knows?
Who knows? So her next thing is housing as a human right, which sounds ridiculous right off the bat. You're not born into this world promised a place to live. You're not guaranteed housing. It's up to you, your family, until you're able to fend for yourself. You're old enough. So housing as a human right is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. So she says, housing in the United States has become a playground for wealthy developers instead of a leg up towards the American dream. In New York City, specifically, money from luxury real estate developers has taken over a political establishment, leading to luxury rezonings that push out small business and working families and leave a wake of empty units in their place. Working New Yorkers can't afford to stay in the communities their families have called home for generations. Families are rent burdened, and the city is experiencing the highest levels of homelessness since the Great Depression. I'm not sure how true that is. While shelters go up, housing actually remains empty. There are three times the amount of empty luxury units as there are people experiencing homelessness in New York City. So what do we do? Alexandria believes that housing is a human right and that Congress must tip the balance away from housing as a gambling chip for Wall Street banks and fight for accessible housing that's actually within working families' reach. Congress has allowed most of our existing housing investment to go towards benefiting the wealthy. Alexandria supports extending tax benefits to working and middle-class homeowners. Cool, give them more of my money.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
Expanding the low-income housing tax credit, housing, not sheltering, the homeless, and permanently funding the National Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Where is she going to get all this money?
Well, what they want to do is raise the tax rate on upper middle and high income earners to pay for all these programs. I mean, that's what the socialists want. And they don't want people to keep their money. They want to raise the tax rate and give it to the government to create more programs.
Right.
Which doesn't make sense. We have too many now.
Yes. Her next one is actually something that makes sense that I agree with. A peace economy. She's probably one of the few Democrats or socialists, whatever you want to call her, because her label doesn't even make sense. She's probably the only one that I've seen talk about these wars and the amount of money we're spending.
Mm-hmm.
So this... thumbs up.
Right.
Everything else is just dumb. So she says, since the invasion of Iraq in 2003, the United States has entangled itself in war and occupation throughout the Middle East and North Africa. As of 2018, we are currently involved in military action in Libya, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Pakistan, and Somalia. Good for her. She did her research on this one. Hundreds of thousands of civilians in these countries have been killed either as collateral damage from American strikes or from the instability caused by the U.S. interventions. Millions more have fled their broken countries, contributing to the global refugee crisis. That's very true. This continued action damages America's legitimacy as force for good, creates new generations of potential terrorists, and erodes American prosperity. Also true. In times when we're told that there's not enough money, Republicans and corporate Democrats seem to find the cash to fund a $1.1 trillion fighter jet program or a $1.7 trillion nuclear weapon modernization program. The costs are extreme. The Pentagon's budget for 2018 is $700 billion, all to continue fighting an endless war on terror and refighting the Cold War with a new arms race that nobody can win. According to the Constitution, the right to declare war belongs to the legislative body, and yet many of these global acts of aggression have never once been voted on by Congress. In some cases, we've even acted without the backing of the United Nations. America should not be in the business of destabilizing countries. While we may see ourselves as liberators, the world increasingly views us as occupiers and aggressors. Alexandria believes that we must end the forever war by bringing our troops home and ending the airstrikes that perpetuate the cycle of terrorism throughout the world. By bringing our troops home, we can begin to heal the wounds we're opening by continuing military engagement. We can begin to repair our image. We can reunite military families separated by repeated deployments. We can become stronger by building stronger diplomatic and economic ties and by saving our armed forces only for when they're truly needed.
You know, the thing is, though, one of the reasons why we're in a lot of these countries, and I think President Trump hit on it this week, is because NATO, allies, there's 17, I think, in there, and only six of them have been paying their dues. And that's why he called the other countries out that haven't been paying for years. So that means we have to increase the money that we send to support NATO troops. And if that was the case, if everybody paid, we would only have to send a percentage of, you know, what of our troops so that NATO can defend the these other countries. We wouldn't have to do it all ourselves. But I mean, you can't do it with six countries. And I mean, it was started to protect Europe, basically from Germany. And so that's one of the reasons why we have to spend so much money in foreign defense. Mm-hmm. But along with that, I hope she has a plan to strengthen our borders, because if we are continuing down the path now where she wants open borders, to give up our military and only have them when it's really needed, then we could find ourselves in trouble being taken over from within, because we don't have a very strong military. And, you know, it's hard to prepare people to do that and just by issuing a draft or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, some of it sounds really good, but I think you have to go and look into it a little more. And I don't think she's done that. And I think the president has shown this past week why it's needed. NATO has to pay their share. I mean, with Germany not paying their share, now they're dealing with Russia in getting their own pipeline for natural gas and oil, while the PAC called for the NATO countries to get to work to get fuel and gas. And Germany went out and made their own deal with Russia. Now, that's not supposed to happen. And a lot of people didn't know that. But now they do, because he told everybody.
Right.
So
I just think we have no reason to be in the Middle East at
all. No, we don't. So. We really don't. And I mean, you know, before we were even a country, they were fighting for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So it's not going to change.
Yeah, we just got to get out of there.
Get out of there and... and I agree with that, but I think if we're part of NATO, you know, if we have, let's say 1,000 troops, and join every other country and have a force, if there's a problem, well, then you don't have to have 100,000 of our troops right over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
everybody should just pull out.
Yeah.
Stop.
I know.
I mean, we're only making it worse by being there. Those people hate us.
Yeah.
They hate us so much. So her next one we talked a little bit about was a federal jobs guarantee. Alexandria endorses a federal jobs guarantee because anyone who is willing and able to work shouldn't struggle to find employment. A federal jobs guarantee would create a baseline standard for employment that includes a $15 minimum wage, in parentheses, pegged to inflation, full health care, and child and sick leave for all. All right. So child leave. So for all, I assume she's talking about for fathers too. I don't think fathers are the ones that birth the children though.
Correct.
If I remember health class correctly.
Well, no, you're right.
So 100% right. I mean, it's definitely important to be to have that time with your newborn child, but I mean, you're going to force these people to give them paternity leave?
No, you're right. And I ridiculous. Can see the mother being able to take 6 weeks off with pay to
if
they're offered it.
Yeah.
And but the father, I mean, what care can he give if, you know, the mother is feeding the child? And,
right. He doesn't.
But the thing is now with our country, and this is where we have everything all messed up, and it just gets worse and worse. I mean, women want and should have equal rights. Now they have jobs. They don't want to be a mother after they have the child. They want to go right back to work. So they said, well, then the father can stay home with the child, but there's a bond between a child and a mother that a father can't can't substitute for. So, I mean, I don't know. It's tough what to do because I would say 80% of women. No, I shouldn't say that. I'd probably say it's half and half. They want to go back to work right after. They want, so that's why I think there's talk about, well, let the husband have maternity leave. Well, they can't, like we said, you can't substitute
a mother's bond. And it just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because I don't agree with, because what she's trying to do here is to force businesses. Because if this is put into, if she does anything with this and a bill goes through or whatever, and then this is mandatory for $15 minimum wage, child and sick leave for all. She's forcing businesses to offer that to everybody.
Right.
That, because it would be law then. And that's going to hurt small businesses that can't afford that kind of stuff. I mean, when you get a job and you're trying to look at all the benefits of it and everything, you see what they can offer you, if they can offer you all this stuff. And if you don't like what they have to offer, you go elsewhere and look for a different job. I mean, it's going to put small, she says she's for small businesses, but this is going to hurt small businesses and put them under, because they are going to have to give maternity and paternity leave to anyone who asks for it. Now, they're not going to be able to say no.
Now, what I believe is that, all right, let's say you have a child and you want to take 6 weeks off and your employer doesn't offer maternity leave. I think your job should be guaranteed when you come back. I don't think having a child should be a disqualify you from losing your job. You know, I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
I don't think it should either, but I also think that it's up to the business. If it's a private business, it's up to the business. It's really something that you would have to talk with your employer about. And I don't think if I owned a business, would never have someone lose their job because of having a kid. But that's me personally, and private businesses should be able to run however they see fit for their own business. And most places are, if they can afford it, going to offer your job guaranteed if you're going to have a kid, or maternity leave.
Yeah, but not pay for the maternity leave.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have to.
You get your job. Yeah. And I know, I've been in my own businesses. I mean, you can make do with a woman being out having a child, and you can cover most jobs for 6 weeks. I mean, that's really not hard to do. If it was a half a year or a year, like some of these countries in Europe do,
you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do this. 6 weeks, you know, I think you can get away.
And most people aren't going to fire you for having a kid. A lot of people are relatively understanding about that. So you'll come into instances where there are some discretions. Mm-hmm.
Some companies not, you know, having that policy.
Yeah. But definitely it's up to the private sector. It shouldn't be up to Congress of mm-hmm. deciding what businesses offer people. And the $15 minimum wage is going to increase unemployment.
Oh,
it's going to increase unemployment.
And just when we're doing good now, I mean, unemployment's at the lowest it's ever been. There's been more black the employment rate for blacks and Hispanics has increased more than any time in the country. They've you know, more jobs. There's 3 million new jobs created for in the country since Trump's become president. So you don't want to make unemployment start to grow again.
Exactly. And like, there's some businesses that can't afford to keep everybody on if minimum wage goes up to 15. Minimum wage is a bad idea. I mean, yes, it sounds good to like be like, okay, I know I at least make this amount of money, but there's people that are willing to work for so much less than the minimum wage, and they should be able to. They should be able to be hired on the books and make whatever they agree with the employer for the skill set that they have. And minimum wage is going to make it harder for unskilled people to get a job, because since it's going to be so expensive to hire people, they're really going to be looking for super diversely skilled yep. individuals, because they have to pay them so much. They're not just going to take someone off the street and pay them $15 an hour.
Well, look what it's going to do to the restaurant industry. If they raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour and do away with that no tipping law they're trying to introduce. I mean, the waitresses don't want it. Restaurant owners certainly don't want it, because restaurants don't really make a lot of money.
And,
right, and you know that. I mean,
I think minimum wage for servers right now is $9.70 was my minimum wage.
Okay.
But, I mean, you get tipped.
Yeah.
And what does suck, though, is you get taxed on credit card tips.
Yes.
So, I don't agree with income tax. I don't agree with taxing my credit card tips. I worked for that really hard. And they take, I think, 10% or 20% of your credit card tips. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
So I always encourage people to pay with cash. And I get really angry with myself if I forget cash for a tip. But cash tips are really good. You count your money at the end of the night and you're like, oh my God.
That's right.
It makes up so much for the difference in minimum wage.
Right. And restaurant can maybe have a couple more employees.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there's not much money a restaurant makes in profit with just food.
Right.
You have to have a bar, because that's where you make money.
Yeah.
So you got a family restaurant, and you know, they could go out, because you know, I mean,
they can't afford to pay.
No.
My first serving job when I was in high school, minimum wage for serving was $5.25.
Yep.
And just in a few years it skyrocketed to $9.70, which ooh, sounds great.
Yeah.
But you realize it's not so great when you look into the business aspect of it.
Right. And it's passed on to the customer, because the food prices go up.
Yep.
And then they get upset because
it's expensive.
You know, and why should I tip you? You're making $15 an hour. And that's, you know, I mean, if it went to that, and that's not that's not a good situation.
No, I'd rather have a lower minimum wage and make up well for it in tips.
Well, and you get tipped on
how
what a job you're doing.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I don't know how many times people used to come in when I bartended, you know, and would stiff you. They'd leave, Like they'd order, back when I did it, they'd order a mixed drink and it was $1.75 and they'd leave the 25 cents there.
Yeah.
Some would give you $1 or $2 or whatever if they were there for, you know, one or two drinks. But if they know I'm making $15 an hour, they're not going to tip.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
But you get tip. The how you wait on a customer is how you get tipped.
Yep.
You know, I was in the business. So I always tip 20%.
Yep.
Because I know how hard. Yeah, I know how hard.
I over tip all the time work. Just because I was away.
Well, they and that is how it is in the restaurant business. If you've been employed or you were in it, you do over tip when you go out. A friend of mine's daughter bartends at one of the chain restaurants. And he said when she goes out, she always overtips, but because she knows how hard that person's working, whether it be a bartender or waitress or waiter. And, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, minimum wage, $15, just ridiculous. I feel like employers should be able to pick what their employee is worth and make a deal with you, and if you think you're more than that, you go elsewhere or you bargain and compromise. What else does she say here? She says, this proposal will dramatically upgrade the quality of employment in the United States by providing training and experience to workers while bringing much needed public services to our communities in areas such as park services, childcare, and environmental conservation. How does that even go with it? I don't even understand.
No.
Furthermore, a federal jobs guarantee program would establish a floor for wages and benefits for the nation's workforce. This program would provide a baseline minimum wage of $15 an hour and guarantee for public workers a basic benefits package, including health care and child care. By investing in our own workforce, we can lift thousands of Americans out of poverty. No, you're going to put more Americans in poverty. Gun control and assault weapons ban. I don't like this.
No.
I don't like this.
Well, look at what she's... What is she doing? When you stop to think, she wants government to
interfere in everything.
The programs, right. She wants to eliminate guns. She wants to do away with the army only when they're needed.
Well, I agree with that one.
But take it in the context. You can't have a gun. Open borders.
I can't remember what her border.
You can't have guns. You won't have an army to protect you unless it's needed. It looks like
she's a big government person.
She wants to control people so that they have no control of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in Europe.
It's scary.
It is.
And I also don't understand. She says, we can't be spending trillions of dollars on a war, but I want to do X, Y, and Z public programs.
With that trillion of dollars.
So what do you mean? We're spending too much money, but we can spend it on all these other things. You're going to spend the same amount of money, if not more.
Right.
And it's still going to be coming from us.
And it's going to put more people that work in poverty.
Yeah, she keeps saying we're fighting poverty, we're making things better, and it doesn't, no. So gun control, assault weapons ban, school shootings have become an all too routine in America, and in urban areas like the Bronx and Queens, gun violence is a regular reality in many communities. We did just have a shooting in Schenectady the other day.
Yes.
In some states, it's easier for teenagers to buy assault weapons than it is for families to get health insurance. She keeps bringing up health insurance. Every year, more than 15,000 Americans die due to gun violence, excluding suicides. In America, gun violence is occurring at a rate 10 times higher than in other high-income countries. With every mass shooting, we see lots of thousands thoughts and prayers from our politicians, but continue to see no action. Well, that's because we have a right to have arms, to bear arms. Republicans ban studying gun violence and write legislation designed to help gun stores that break the law. No, No, they don't.
I know.
No, they don't. The NRA, a vehicle for gun manufacturers that disguises itself as a civil rights organization, is run by a man who helped arm narco-terrorists in what became the Iran-Contra scandal. Instead of fighting to save American lives, politicians bend over backwards to protect the billionaire-backed gun lobby and propose measures that would actually increase gun sales, such as proposal to arm teachers. I don't think all teachers should be armed. I think those that would like to conceal and carry and are trained to should be able to. Mm-hmm. But I don't think arming all teachers is a great idea.
No.
Alexandria knows that it doesn't have to be this way. Even in the United States, cities and states with strong gun laws have managed to cut gun violence significantly without running afoul of the Second Amendment. That's completely not true. The cities with the highest or the strictest gun laws have the most gun violence. D.C., Chicago.
Chicago has the strictest gun laws in the country, and they also have the highest
gun death.
Murder rate and crime rate in the country.
So I don't know where she's getting this information from. Thanks in part to New York City's tough gun laws, gun crimes here are at historic lows. I thought she just said they were at highs mm-hmm. in New York City. She's contradicting herself. But New York and the rest of the country has the potential to be much safer. Alexandria believes that supporting common sense gun legislation is, what does that even mean? Is necessary for any politician who claims to care about the lives of constituents. She understands that gun control can save lives and make communities and schools safer. No, it's going to leave people defenseless. Like I said, with my situation this week, I felt defenseless.
Right.
And it was scary. It's not good to know that this other person might have weapons and I don't.
Right.
Ban assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, and bump stocks. It's clear that the Founding Fathers did not have assault weapons in mind when they wrote the Second Amendment. These machines of war were brought over to the civilian market in the 1980s alongside high-capacity magazines and dramatically increased the death toll of mass shootings were used. Alexandria believes that the federal assault weapons ban should be reinstated, strengthened, and made permanent. Made permanent? That's scary. That's so scary.
You know, I wonder what happened back when the framers of the Constitution, they used a rifle that you had to only get one shot out of, okay? Then during the 1800s, they came out with the repeating rifle and a six-gun. And I wonder if they called for the elimination of those because they weren't the single-shot rifles. You know what I mean? And then they came out with the Gatling gun back during the Civil War. And I wonder if they called for, like, the elimination of that because it wasn't a six-shooter and it could shoot however many bullets that...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Of course they didn't know there was going to be more or better guns than there were with that single shot. I mean, you can't predict what's...
No,
who would
you
have
can't.
Predicted you're going to have a computer in 1920?
And, I mean... And who... Why does it even matter what we have out now? We have the right to have it.
Yeah.
We have the right to have it. They gave us that right. Just because they didn't know doesn't mean we start infringing on that, right? I mean, when England said, hey, turn the colonists, hey, turn in all your guns, they said, no, you're crazy.
That's right.
And fought them with those guns. They all got together and fought them with it.
And what did Germany do?
What did they do?
They took
all the
guns away from the people.
And then used it against them.
Right. And then they started making their move on.
Yeah, you just cannot give your weapons over to the government. It's a bad situation to have. The only people that have weapons are the government and the army.
Yeah.
That's a terrible situation. Absolutely terrible. And to have civilians to have absolutely nothing. And that's a dangerous society. Yeah, that's a tyranny or... It's a military state.
Right.
It's not good. I don't understand how people think banning weapons is a good idea. It's a terrible idea.
Because they're uneducated.
Yes. But I mean, it's not even that hard to understand.
I know, but people just don't like to like politics or don't like to rationalize anything. There was a people would know some of the kids today, if you ask them when the Civil War was fought, they couldn't tell you.
Oh, well, I'm really bad with dates. So.
But I mean, what century was it fought in?
It was in it was Abraham Lincoln.
Right. Okay. You know, well, no, that's better than a lot of other kids could do today. I mean, they don't know what July 4th stands for.
Right.
And
yeah.
When you're trying to explain to them how to, what about the gun ban that they're trying to put on, how are they supposed to rationalize anything when they don't even know why have it? It's just uneducated people not knowing what the discussion's about, saying ban them.
It's because we're
get rid of them.
Products of a public school system,
right,
that the state runs. And so they're only learning what the state wants them to know, what they want them to believe. And so if they don't know these things, which, yes, the parents should be teaching them too if they're not getting it at school. But, I mean, the education that they're getting is all what the state wants them to know.
That's right.
And it's scary.
And they're rewriting history.
Yes. And I listened to this one rapper, J. Cole. He just put out a new album. And one of the songs he was talking about how he got his $1 million check and the amount of tax that was taken out of it was absolutely ridiculous. He's like, they tell me it's going to roads and public schools, but my brothers aren't even learning anything. They white out the history. They white out their sins. They deem them as heroes. And it was really good. It was really good to see a mainstream artist bring up taxation as theft. And that the government isn't doing anything.
Well, that's good, because I remember watching The Weather one time with Bob Kovacic, and the lottery was like $100 million, and in the news segment there they said so and so won the $1 million lottery, and after taxes she'll net $30 million or $35 million. So when it came time to The Weather, Kovacic says, why don't they say then that you'll get $35 million? Why would you say the jackpot's $100 million? Because you're not getting $100 million.
$65 million?
Well, whatever. Million? I mean, it was way less than half of what. But they're
still
advertising.
A lot of money, but
it's
either way.
Well, no, it's a lot of money.
False
I'm not saying that it's not a lot of money. Yeah. What I'm saying is, they're saying the jackpot's $100 million, but they should also say you'll only net whatever it is.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, because people go in thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm going to win $100 million. But then when you have to...
Yeah. And especially, like, the game shows, too.
Oh,
you know, the TV game shows?
Yep.
They win so much money, and then they walk away with, like, half of it.
Yeah, or if they win a car, they have to pay the tax on the car.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I don't know. We're overtaxed, and you got politicians calling for more taxes to pay for more programs that don't make any sense. And this one I'm a little afraid of. Now, she may not beat the Republican, but down there, you never know. I don't think Republicans have ever won in that area.
Oh, no. New York is so blue.
So
blue. You start getting red up here, but, I mean, there's just not enough votes up here for red. All right. What's the next thing? So she wants criminal justice reform and to end private prisons. She says it's time to reform our criminal justice system to be safer for everybody. We do need to reform our criminal justice system, but let's see how she wants to do it. Alexandria believes in ending mass incarceration and the war on drugs. Woo! That's a good one. And closing the school-to-prison pipeline. So war on drugs, definitely. Just it's ridiculous that the government is even having that kind of say in what people do in their private lives, whatever. Alexandria supports the federal legalization of marijuana, ending for-profit prisons and detention centers, the release of individuals incarcerated for nonviolent drug offenses, the end of cash bail and automatic independent investigations each and every time an individual is killed by law enforcement. We must also fully fund the offices of public defenders. We must also fully fund.
Yeah.
All right. So let's spend some more money. Decriminalize poverty and clauses that shield corporate abuses of everyday Americans, and provide comprehensive mental health care to both incarcerated communities and law enforcement. No, I'm not paying for their mental health care either.
No.
No. You got me on the end the war on drugs, but you don't have me on this one. All right. So her next thing, immigration justice. Clear the path to citizenship, protect the rights of families to remain together. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency was created in 2003 in the same suit of post 9/11 legislation as the Patriot Act and the Iraq War. Its founding was part of an unchecked expansion of executive powers that led to the widespread erosion of American civil rights. Unlike prior immigration enforcement, under the INS, they operate outside the scope of the Department of Justice and is unaccountable to our nation's standards of due process. Now we see the consequences. Young children are being ripped from their parents and kept in detention centers without due process and without accountability to Congress. I'm so sick of hearing this.
I know.
I'm so tired of it. Just as overseen by the Trump administration, ICE operates with virtually no accountability, ripping apart families and holding our friends and neighbors indefinitely in inhumane detention centers scattered across the United States. She believes if we were to uphold civil justice, we must abolish ICE and see to it that our undocumented neighbors are treated with their dignity and respect owed to all people, regardless of citizenship status. She endorses the DREAM Act of 2017. So I'm tired of this children being ripped away from their parents whole ordeal. It got way, 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 way too much outrage and publicity. We don't even know
all the facts of it, really. Well, that's because the Democrats, that's because the Democrats don't have any other... they don't have any other item to complain about, so they made a big deal out of this ripping children away from parents. Well, what do we do when
we go to the Middle East?
What's that?
What do we do when we go to the Middle East?
Well, no, right? No. What do we do when, let's say, I kill someone and they take me and I have to go for trial, and what do? I'm held in prison. Do they put my child in prison with me?
No.
But they're ripping me away from my family. So if they're doing this for illegal aliens, then that's good. But if that's not good, but if they do it to me, it's good. See, it doesn't make any sense.
They contradict themselves.
Sure,
so
they
much.
Do. And it's foolish. I think they should have a way of telling. Take a DNA test when they come in. If it's their child and they committed a criminal act, then you know that they belong together. But there's so many people bringing children in that aren't theirs to use them for human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
That and this lady is so uninformed. It's not ICE that's taking away or ICE that's doing this. It's the Border Patrol. Excuse me, because they're catching these people as they come in. It's not ICE. ICE, we went,
We talked about it last week. Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. They don't understand what the difference between the Border Patrol and ICE is.
People just don't have enough information on this whole ordeal.
But she's running for office.
Yeah, but she's running for office, right? Solidarity with Puerto Rico. Months after Hurricane Maria, which ravaged Puerto Rico, our fellow Americans still suffer for want of basic utilities and billions in federal aid that they are entitled to as citizens. In that time, the United States has allowed its own citizens to go without reliable electricity, potable water, and open schools. That includes Alexandria's own family. Our friends and family in Puerto Rico thus suffer the double humiliation of being denied disaster relief from their own government on the basis of their disenfranchisement. As a member of Congress, she commits to championing justice for Puerto Rico on the House floor. The U.S. government has done nothing while Puerto Ricans have suffered an island-wide blackout, seen as public tuition double for all aspiring collegiate students, and have been deprived of their humanity with underreporting of hurricane-related deaths. A recent Harvard report stating that the real numbers are approaching 5,000, more than 70 times what is being reported. Americans would not stand for this in any other city or state, and we can't stand for it now. Our government has a responsibility to act and pursue a just recovery in Puerto Rico. As a congresswoman, Alexandria intends to fight for sweeping change in the way that the United States relates to Puerto Rico, including five main policy priorities. A Marshall Plan for Puerto Rico, if I'm correct, Marshall Plan does mean military. Mm-hmm. So more military, big government stuff. Helping the island not only recover from Hurricane Maria, but thrive with modern infrastructure and renewable energy. Who is going to pay for this? Who is going to pay for this? A community-led, sustainable, and just recovery, including protections for Puerto Rico's public education system from kindergarten to college and trade school. An immediate waiver and full review of the Jones Act, which hamstrings the Puerto Rican economy with restrictions that other American communities do not have to face. Cancellation of Puerto Rico's Wall Street debt. Oh, wait. Okay, wait. Just cancel their debt? Can you cancel my student loan debt, please?
Yeah, really. I know.
This debt has been accrued by vulture funds using irresponsible and unjust behavior reminiscent of the 2008 financial crisis. And number five, condemnation of the Promesia Act, which handed over the island to La Junta, a corporate governance board installed with the support of my opponent and his private equity donors. These issues are just scrape the surface of a long and difficult history, blah, 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 blah. Liberty and justice for all, she says. Liberty and justice for all. Okay, so Puerto Rico is a commonwealth of the United States.
Right.
And we've already doled out so much money to them, and they never, ever, ever pay it back. This whole idea of debt being okay to have and never pay back and just cancel is dangerous.
And all the money that was given to them, that this debt accrued, where did the money go? In government officials' pockets.
It clearly didn't go to the island.
So here's how much money that the U.S. gave to Puerto Rico after the hurricane. They gave them $4.8 billion to replenish dwindling Medicaid funds, $2 billion to restore the shredded power grid, and $9 billion for housing and urban projects. Now, that's a lot of money for a small island, and they're still 90% without power, and still people, like she said, after, well, how much is that, $15 billion they got, and they still, so the money, and the mayor's down there complaining that the officials, the governor and high government officials, are taking that money for themselves. So yeah. Do you blame President Trump for saying we're not going to send any more aid down?
That's a smart move. That's a you're not paying your money back. I am not giving you more. So that's just like the credit card company saying, no, you can't have another credit card. You owe $18,000.
Right.
It's just common sense. Debt's not okay. It's not okay to write off. You can't just do that. We're never going to get our money back.
No.
Ever.
No.
Ever. So I had something in my head. If this is really an issue that she cares about, this whole Puerto Rico needing help, the people needing help, instead of fundraising and trying to run for Congress and using your money on your campaign or whatever, why didn't you get people together, fundraise a whole bunch of money, and go to Puerto Rico and help out?
Right, and make sure that
if this is done. If this is something you truly care about, government doesn't need to get into it, and you don't need to be asking. Or you don't need to be forcing us to pay money to give them. You right. should have been fundraising for this cause that you care about and going down there and helping.
Well, you know how much right after the hurricane, the U.S. sent ships after ships of food, water. And do you know how much food went bad? Because they themselves wouldn't help distribute the food and water to their own people. They wanted the U.S. to send military down to distribute the food and the water. Well, you mean to tell me if I knew, let's say Saratoga was devastated and the government said, all right, we're going to send trucks in with food and water and they unloaded it, let's say, down on South Broadway. And we just sat in our homes or hung around and said, well, we're not going to give it out. We want the government to send the National Guard in. They should be the ones delivering the food. I mean, that's how they thought, and that's how so much food went bad. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why. And now they're blaming us because we didn't give them enough. I don't know. I don't understand this.
We're not saviors of the world.
No.
It's really sad to say, but I mean, charities, private organizations, NGOs, they can do so much to help, and it's not the responsibility of the government. It's the responsibility of humankind to come together and help if they really want to. People are lazy. That's what it is. They're lazy. Oh, you need to do something about this. We need to get bills passed. We need to send money. No, we need to get together as humans and help them if it's something that we really care about.
Well, there was in the paper today, there was a family, a wealthy family in Saratoga. They own a real estate holding company that donated $2.5 million to Albany Medical Center.
Good for them.
Exactly. They donated their own money to the hospital to help for some sort of research or some wing, maybe the pediatric wing or something, but that's what you do.
Right.
They gave their own money
to
for that, not getting a government grant to give the hospital $2.5 million.
Good for them. Good for them.
But that's what you keep saying every week. I mean, we should be giving to charities because the dollar goes farther than because if it's the government that's giving it out, there's a bureaucracy right. involved. There's so many people making money off of in salaries and all that, and then the dollar they might end up getting 30 cents on the dollar, where charities you get the dollar for dollar because most of the time it's volunteers.
Right. Something else that was in that J. Cole song I was talking about, he was talking about the taxes and stuff, and it doesn't go to where they say it goes. And he goes, if I have to pay these, I would much rather choose from an app on my phone where my money goes. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, J. Cole.
Really?
Great idea. I suggest what is it called? I'll have to come back with that, the name of the song, because I don't remember. Okay. But it was a really good song. So that took the entire show to get through about half of her platform.
Goodness gracious.
So we're going to have to finish that up next week. And I did want to talk about the Supreme Court pick, but we can talk about that next week too. Just a little look into next week. I think the Supreme Court pick is all right.
I don't too.
I don't really have a problem with it. But we will go into depth about it later.
Okay.
But you wanted my opinion. That's my opinion. And we can elaborate next week.
I'm glad.
And then hopefully next week I did see something interesting. It was the poorest cities in every state in their average annual income. It's quite surprising. Quite surprising. So we'll go over that next week too. So I think that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you for listening. And I think Noah wanted to come over and say hello real quick.
He can say hello in his mic if he wants.
So we're going to have a quick word from Noah.
You can talk in your mic if you want.
I went hiking.
You went hiking?
Yep.
Did you like it?
Yeah. When we got on top, my legs were tired.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you see any animals when you went hiking?
No.
You didn't? Okay.
Well, our puppy did come with us.
Yeah?
And when we got to the top, there was a fire tower.
Wow. You know,
and
I
first
you.
I went up there, and I was scared because I was scared of heights.
Right.
Then my mom said after she was done what she was doing, she would go up there.
I was eating a snack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she came up.
Well, that's nice.
And I didn't go up the ladder to get up in there because there was actually a book that would tell you to write your name so they know you already went up in there.
Okay.
So I didn't go up there, but a person did go up there, and when they came down, she said there was no pen or a pencil.
Okay.
So I said I'm going to go up there when I'm 7.
You think so? That's not too far away, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Saturday.
My birthday is July 21st, so I am 6, almost 7. So my mom said we'll be going next time when I'm 7.
Right.
And yeah. And we're going to be bringing a pen.
Good.
Let them know we went up there.
That's good.
Do you have any last minute words about Liberty?
I don't know.
No?
No.
No.
No words about Liberty. I did meet your dog, and very, very cute puppy. So I bet you're happy that you have him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.